When British rule ended in 1947, few believed India could survive as a unified nation. Western observers pointed to its extraordinary diversity, hundreds of princely states, dozens of languages, multiple religions, and a rigid caste system as proof that fragmentation was inevitable. Sir John Strachey, a retired British official, had confidently declared that India was merely a convenient label for a great region including a multitude of different countries. The trauma of partition had left deep wounds, with communal violence claiming hundreds of thousands of lives as Hindus and Muslims fled across hastily drawn borders. Yet against these overwhelming odds, India embarked on what Jawaharlal Nehru called its tryst with destiny. While Gandhi provided moral leadership, Nehru and Vallabhbhai Patel tackled the practical challenges of governance. The fundamental story of modern India became one of ongoing social conflicts along four principal axes: caste, defining marriage and association for many Indians; language, with 22 official languages; religion, a Hindu majority alongside the world's second largest Muslim population; and class, encompassing both fabulously wealthy entrepreneurs and hundreds of millions below the poverty line. What Winston Churchill had dismissed as a land destined for barbarism and privation would instead become what The Economist called a bridge of effervescent liberty in Asia, a democratic experiment that continues to defy conventional wisdom about what holds nations together. Freedom dawned on August 15, 1947, with Nehru's stroke of midnight speech. While India celebrated, Gandhi walked through riot-torn villages during partition, covering 116 miles in Noakhali, Bengal, to restore peace. The 77-year-old consoled victims and fasted in Bihar until local leaders pledged to protect minorities. On January 30, 1948, Gandhi was assassinated by Hindu nationalist Nathuram Godse during his evening prayer walk in Delhi. His death united his feuding followers, Home Minister Vallabhbhai Patel and Prime Minister Nehru, who set aside their power struggle to stabilize India's nascent democracy. Post-independence, integrating over 500 princely states emerged as a crucial challenge. These territories ranged from Kashmir and Hyderabad to small village clusters. Vallabhbhai Patel, the Iron Man of India, and V.P. Menon secured their accession by having rulers transfer defense, foreign affairs, and communications to the central government while retaining internal autonomy. Though most states joined willingly, Travancore reversed its independence declaration after an attack on its Diwan, while Junagadh's Muslim ruler fled to Pakistan after its Hindu majority voted 91% for Indian accession. Jammu and Kashmir, spanning 84,471 square miles, was India's most significant princely state. It encompassed Hindu-majority Jammu, Muslim-majority Kashmir Valley, Buddhist Ladakh, and the Shia regions of Gilgit and Baltistan. Hindu Maharaja Hari ruled, while Sheikh Abdullah's National Conference led the opposition. Abdullah allied with Nehru, united by their vision of Hindu-Muslim unity and socialism. In October 1947, tribal raiders from Pakistan invaded Kashmir as the Maharaja considered independence. He quickly signed accession to India, which sent troops to defend Srinagar. The resulting India-Pakistan War ended with India controlling two-thirds of the state and Pakistan the northwest, a dispute that would later escalate to nuclear tensions. India's constitution, one of the world's longest at 395 articles, was drafted over 3 years. B.R. Ambedkar, a Columbia-educated lawyer from a low caste, led the process and rejected a Gandhian constitution based on village councils, establishing instead the individual as the fundamental unit. With democratic foundations established, Nehru focused on transforming India's economy. At independence, farming dominated, with 75% of the workforce, while industry employed just 12%, a disparity that shaped his modernization agenda. The 1944 Bombay Plan, drafted by 8 leading industrialists, acknowledged private enterprise's limitations and endorsed state-led development. This unusual industry-state alliance would influence India's economic path for decades. The Planning Commission, chaired by Nehru, drove this transformation. While the first five-year plan prioritized agriculture, the second emphasized industrialization. Large dams, which Nehru called the temples of modern India, became modernization symbols. Science and technology were central to industrialization. Nehru established specialized research laboratories and institutions like the Indian Institutes of Technology to build technical expertise. Agricultural development remained vital, pursued through community programs, irrigation projects, and land reforms. Results varied. Irrigation boosted Punjab's productivity, but land ownership stayed concentrated. This modernization approach laid foundations for India's economic growth, though benefits weren't equally distributed. India's linguistic diversity, with over 1,600 mother tongues and 200 distinct languages, posed a major post-independence challenge. Leaders feared language-based divisions might spark separatist movements following partition's trauma. The 1948 JVP Committee initially opposed linguistic provinces, viewing language as both unifying and divisive. However, regional movements grew stronger, particularly among Telugu speakers. When Gandhian leader Patti Srimalulu died after a 58-day fast in 1952, widespread riots compelled Nehru to create Andhra State. Bombay City became a flashpoint, with Marathi speakers demanding it as Maharashtra's capital, while Gujarati industrialists sought its independence. Despite fears of fragmentation, the linguistic reorganization ultimately strengthened national unity by accommodating regional aspirations. The Constitution established an independent election commission and judiciary, with the Supreme Court protecting both social reform and civil rights. It guaranteed religious freedom while enabling social reforms. Special attention went to minority rights, including reservations for untouchables and protections for tribal peoples, whom tribal leader Jaipal Singh described as the most needy, most deserving group after millennia of neglect. Hyderabad posed the greatest princely state challenge, spanning 80,000 square miles with 16 million people under the world's richest ruler. Though 85% Hindu, Muslims controlled its military and administration. After negotiations failed, Indian forces secured Hyderabad in just 4 days in September 1948. This swift diplomatic and military success helped unite feudal territories into a modern nation-state within 2 years. The linguistic reorganization of states showcased Indian democracy's adaptability, creating a framework that balanced regional linguistic identity with national unity. Meanwhile, the Constitution, drafted during partition's tumult, established the world's largest democracy while aiming to transform a hierarchical society into one founded on equal citizenship and social justice. India's survival as a unified, democratic nation defies Western theories of nationalism that demand shared language, religion, ethnicity, or common enemies for national identity. This success stems from retaining effective colonial institutions, the administrative service, military, and judiciary, which provided stability. Economic integration through public and private sectors created vital interdependencies, while Hindi cinema fostered unity by establishing shared cultural touchstones across regions. Most importantly, India's democratic institutions have offered peaceful channels for resolving conflicts and representing diverse interests. Despite challenges, the democratic process has remained resilient. What J.B.S. Haldane called a wonderful experiment succeeds where more homogeneous nations have failed. India's future rests on practical foundations: its constitution, fair elections, secularism, and linguistic freedom. In an era of rising nationalism, India's pluralistic democracy offers an alternative worth preserving.